Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Stonewall Live. I'm Nate Klarfeld, and we're going to be speaking this morning with Jonathan D. Lovitz, one of the stars of Logo TV's Setup Squad and recently involved in the gay civil rights movement. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. So great to be here with you.
Well, I'm really glad to have you this morning. Listen, for our listeners, why don't we start out with a short 411 on what is the Setup Squad on Logo TV? Give us a little bit about it.
Sure. The Setup Squad, which airs April 25th, taking over for RuPaul's Drag Race, is about a team of New York City professional wingmen. We are dating experts who take New York's most undateable people out around the city and teach them why they've had no success in their love lives. So we give them a little crash course in dating 101 and then send them on their way to hopefully find some love success. But then the show is also about the really amazing personal drama between the cast and myself, which is a team of four women and one gay man. So you can imagine there's quite a bit of volume and some really great drama.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, you know, now, do you have gay and straight, clients, are you going to call them? Or are they just all straight?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that's so great about this show. It's kind of a big first for Logo. We have huge gay and straight appeal with the show. For example,
right.
My first client on the first episode is a black single mother.
Yay! Doing it all.
Yeah, so we're often working with people you wouldn't expect, which is going to be, I think, a lot of fun for people across the country to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for the people who don't know, this is from the same producers as Pawn Stars, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely. The Left Field Pictures, great production company. They've made Pawn Stars, Oddities, What the Cell. They know what they're doing. They've made a great program for Logo.
Right, right. I'm excited. I really am excited because it's like the whole funny thing of four women and one gay man. Tell me how you got chosen. How did you get chosen to be the gay man in this? This is like the greatest job in the whole world, and you have it.
I would definitely say that's true. I'm the luckiest guy. I've been an actor in New York City for years, and then I heard through the grapevine that there's this great dating company, which is the company that we work for on the show is a real company here in New York.
Right.
And they were looking for a man for their team, and they were looking for someone with a lot of experience with the boys in New York City and who knew their way around the dating scene, but also had personality and the patience to deal with some pretty crazy people. And I said, well, I've survived 10 years in the theater, so I can probably handle a few crazy people.
And you've been dating in New York.
I have. There's an adventure in a show all on its own.
I know. I live in Fort Lauderdale, dating in Fort Lauderdale, though I've had a partner for 8 years. I mean, the dating scene is just a effing nightmare down here, as it is in all large. Go ahead.
I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, so trust me, my first couple boyfriends were all Fort Lauderdale boys, so I know exactly what you've been through.
Right. Well, no, I saw that you're from Coral Springs, Florida, which is just like, right down the street. And I'm just amazed. Well, anyway, I'm really excited. But we're going to talk about some other things this morning, if you don't mind.
Of course.
About a month and a half ago, when I first contacted you, it was right after your big New York City jury thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. In early March, I, like everybody else, was served with jury duty summonses and went to go do my civic duty, which I was very excited to do. I'm a big political junkie, so I thought it would be kind of cool to be a part of the process. But the first thing you do when you get there is you have to sit through this 10-minute video with Diane Sawyer and pals about how lucky you are to be in this great, great part of American tradition that you get to speak for the common man and how being on a jury makes us all equal and we're all serving the great purpose and blah, 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 blah. And it just really struck a chord with me. So when I got into the jury room and they asked, they told us about the case and they asked us, can you be impartial? I said, well, not really. I'm a second-class citizen. I can't get married in the state. I pay my taxes for 67% of the laws. And you want me to serve on a jury of my peers? Well, these people are not my peers. We're not equal in a lot of ways. So, no, I don't think I can be impartial.
And you got and you were dismissed.
Well, the first time, and then the way it works up here, you have to get dismissed from two different cases. So I went back out in the jury pool, and while I was waiting to get called for my second case, another day later, I just simply put on Facebook, "Hey guys, this is what I just said. It was this crazy spur of the moment thing that came out of my mouth." And sure enough, the miracle of the internet, a friend of mine who has a blog picked it up,
right?
Put it on his blog. The next thing you know, within 24 hours, it was on Perez Hilton. Michael Musto put it in the Village Voice. It was in the Chicago Tribune. People from all over the world getting emails from people in Europe saying they heard about this story. I couldn't believe it. And next thing I know, I'm on MSNBC talking with Cameron Hall about gay rights.
Right, and I got into a argument. After I first booked you, I must have saw your post right after it happened. We were Facebook friends. I don't know how that happened. Probably through Riken Lemkel, a mutual friend, Riken. And I guess that's how because I saw it right away, and I contacted you immediately, and before even the second time, and it just exploded. And I said, "Oh my God, he's like the Rosa Parks." Well, all my friends kind of like said, "All he did was this, blah blah blah." And I said, "No, it does take these little sparks of things. You were on Billerica Project. My friend Wayman Hudson reposted. I believe somebody named the blogger who is a friend of yours." He reposted that before the MSNBC thing. Now being used, evidently, all across the country as a jury block.
I just did an interview with NPR recently where the woman who called to interview me said, "I didn't even know about this story, but I was serving on jury duty, and three different gay men said the same thing." And she went up to one of them and said, "Okay, this is a little weird that three people all made the same comment on the same day. What made you guys all say this?" And they said, "Well, we heard about this guy in New York."
Right. It's happening down here, too.
That was a very big honor.
Yeah, well, it's happening here. I heard it from a judge. I have a friend who actually my partner and I are on a reelection committee for an openly gay county judge in Broward County. He was already elected. He's going up for reelection. Do you believe that one, Broward County?
Amazing.
Judge Robert Lee, greatest guy in the world. Anyway, he's told me that he's had this happen in his probate court, which is kind of like the boring old people court. And people are coming up that, when they pick a jury for stuff, and he's getting, everybody's doing this, whether it's 23-year-olds or 75-year-old gay men, or all gay men and women are doing this. And what it's doing is it's starting a conversation. Yes, you say this, and you're dismissed from jury duty because no lawyer wants a nasty guy, like 12 angry men on the jury. And what happens is those 50 or – I mean, how many people were in the room when you said this?
There are about 45. And you know what? I appreciate you saying that because that's the heart of the issue. It was never about, "Oh, God, I don't want to do jury duty today," which, of course, a lot of people don't. The thing is, that you have to swear an oath before you get asked anything. And I swore that I would be honest. And when it was my turn to give my opinion, I simply told them how I felt, not looking to get out of anything. And nor do I think anyone ever should get out of their civic responsibilities. This is the price we pay for Americans. We pay our taxes on juries. However, if someone asks you your opinion, and you as a gay man in the 21st century don't stand up for yourself, you set us back a few more decades.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. And, my partner's a psychiatrist. I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archive, the nation's largest gay and lesbian library, and we're going to talk about that in a minute because I'm going to ask you for some stuff for the library, make you immortal. I'm going to make you immortal. We'll put you in the library, in the archives. That's like a dusty place. No, it's beautiful. Anyway, what I was going to say is when you talk to 45 people, you've started that conversation. They're going to go home and repeat that to at least three people because that is one of those remarks that isn't ever forgotten for at least 24 hours. So for 24 hours, the 40, 45 people are going to go tell 130 people, 125 people. So you just started probably 180, 200 New Yorkers saying, I kind of agree with him. I see his point. I wouldn't do that either, blah, blah, blah. So you know, those little type of things. So that's when I did my little comment on Facebook and said this was kind of like a Rosa Parks moment, and my, you know, uppity friends all, you know, boo-hoo-boo-boo me. I said, no, I mean, Rosa Parks was not some great civil rights leader. She was not my Martin Luther King. She had a spontaneous moment where she sat in this place and then on the bus, and then the news picked it up. It was the right place at the right time. I'm giving you that, you know, that this, if this hadn't happened with Facebook, if this hadn't happened with, you know, a slow news day or whatever it was, you know, it, for whatever reason, it was picked up, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I keep saying. You know, people keep asking me, much like I think your friends were commenting, oh, you know, should we be comparing it to Rosa Parks? Was this really the right place to do this? And to which I always respond, where is there such a thing as a wrong place to stand up for equality? I don't care
exactly.
If it's a courtroom in New York City or that bus seat in Alabama. Someone had to make
right.
The first step somewhere. And it just so happened
exactly.
That it was the right place at the right time to get a conversation going between people who probably wouldn't be speaking about the issue. And that's
yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly right. That's exactly where I feel. That anytime you start an honest, good conversation, not in anger, that you're like a great ambassador for the whole movement. And this is how we've won over people. This is how we've gotten, I guess it's more than 50% of the people in the country are for gay marriage now. I think it was done
right.
One by one. It was done, you know, like my partner and I are very open about our relationship, about our domestic partnership. We talk to people about it all the time. And we don't push, you know, we're not in an angry mode. We're in an educational mode. And that's what's important. Okay, I'm going to go back to the show because I have questions.
Okay.
I have a chat room, and people are anonymously asking questions that don't want to call in. Okay, so what happens if you get attracted to one of your clients? Are you allowed to date your client? That's somebody asked a question just now.
Ooh, that's, you know, we have strict company policies against that sort of thing. But don't get me wrong. You know, when you work in New York City, you're bound to run into a hottie or two. No, that's not something we've crossed yet. But, you know, God willing, there's multiple seasons ahead, and maybe we'll see that kind of thing unfold.
Well, it'd be kind of cool to watch it on TV, but I don't know that in real life, what, you know, how that would work, you know, that whole,
exactly.
You know. Yeah, that's very
exactly.
True.
We keep it very professional here.
Oh, very good. I'm glad. So glad to hear that. Okay, so I've got another question. I need an intern. I'm doing this all by myself. So how do you keep in shape? Somebody's asking that question. Smoking the hot body. That's what somebody just told you. Somebody, an anonymous caller. And how do you keep in shape in New York City? This other guy lives in New York City, too. I see his 212 number. No, 786 number. Go ahead.
So,
how do you keep
you
in such great shape?
My secret is twofold. I drink 3 cups of coffee a day, and I sit and use the shake weight while I'm drinking them. Entirely, that's it. That's my fitness advice.
I get asked the same question all the time. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's very sweet of your caller to ask that. No, and I, it's just, you know, kind of an occupational hazard working in entertainment in New York City, but I began getting into fitness and all of that as a self-esteem boost, which I think is one of the best reasons to get into it. I wasn't really happy with how I was looking, and just as I started finding ways to make myself fit, it kind of brought a whole new level of happiness into my life, and that kind of found its way into all other aspects of my life. So, you know, feeling good inside, or feeling good outside certainly helps on the inside as well. But it's the kind of thing you have to do for yourself. You know, there are a lot of people who get told, say in my industry, you know, be pretty or you don't work. And I think that's ridiculous because A, beauty is completely subjective. And B, if you're doing it to please anyone other than yourself, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right. And look at Harvey Fierstein, right?
A beautiful man and a good friend.
And a great guy. I mean, I met him a couple of times, and you just completely don't see anything but great beauty and energy. I mean, that's all he exudes. And I think he's very comfortable in his skin. I think that's the very first thing you have to do. And if you're, there are a lot of people that are very uncomfortable in the gay community. I live in Fort Lauderdale, but we don't wear a lot of clothes. And
I know it.
I know. And I know so many people that are so upset with the way they look, and you know, and I think it's Eric Mappa, the comedian, always has that great line. It says, you know, I'm gay, I live in Los Angeles, I go to the gym, it's the law.
Exactly.
Yeah, and almost
exactly. I feel like there's a guy every time you walk into Wilton Manors, there's one of those guys with one of the body masks, you know, the giant pinchers, saying, "Oh,
right.
You're a little too big to be here. Why don't you go try, you know, Southie?"
Yeah, right. Yeah, or the Wrinkle Bar down the street. Yeah. For people who don't know, I know. I'm 61. I mean, those are recent picks. I'm in great shape, but I always joke with people because I'm like a senior citizen in the gay community, and which is kind of fun. No, I have a great time with it. but, you know, nobody guesses my age anyway by about 20 years, which is great. I hope that always happens, stays that way. But in Wilton Manors, we have a range of bars all right next to each other. And you can go from country western leather, 80 and older, twinks, rock and roll. And then we have our new bar that looks just like the Abbey in West Hollywood. I think the same manager. We have a new West Hollywood, and they act the same way. They got the clones from West Hollywood. I don't know how they found them, but so yeah, dating is hard. And so, give me your advice for a newly out. I got another caller, another guest who's anonymous again. What are these anonymous people here tonight today? I'm newly out, and what advice can you give me for meeting people who are not like one night stands?
Uh-huh. Well, for one, get off the internet.
He's on the internet. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you know, people get into that trap and think, oh, well, we're this small niche community. The only way we're going to find each other is in these, you know, websites and message boards that are just for us.
Right.
It couldn't be further from the truth, especially if, right, you know, if you're in a city like New York or Fort Lauderdale or places where you know I can be in this section of the city and I'm guaranteed to meet others like me.
Right.
Get out there, you know, live your life and keep your eye open for interaction. You know, I've been expressing with people on the show that dating isn't life or death. It shouldn't be about the end game of if I do X, Y, and Z, I will have a boyfriend for life. It's about if I experiment, if I keep growing, if I keep learning how to be the best version of myself and putting that out there on the market, then people will want to be, you know, hopefully want to start being my good friend because they'll see I'm a great guy.
Right.
And then they're going to want to grow to date me because they'll develop affections and attractions to me. So,
right, that's,
you know,
great.
I tell you, you know, I urge your caller, be yourself. Stop, you know, don't feel like you need to put on a show to try to, you know, don't be the peacock who's got to attract everyone with, you know, the brightest feathers or whatever. Just be yourself, and the ones that you're meant to find are going to come into your life.
I'm glad you mentioned get off the internet, because I have heard from my friends, old and young, that they meet these people on Grindr and they expect them to be a long-term relationship and go pick out China at Williams-Sonoma 2 days later. And I say, you know, excuse me, but you met on Grindr, you know, that's like instant, you know, that's like, you know, 10 minutes from hello to penetration. So, I mean, you know, give me a break. So
10 minutes, at least you stop for coffee.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. But on finding your own best self, okay, do you do a checklist or an inventory with your clients to see what's hiding in there, or do you just kind of let it go free flow and just keep telling them to look at themselves?
You know what? Honestly, I think with all people, things like a checklist are your own worst enemy. There are several clients that I have throughout the course of the season that people will see that one of the first things I say to them is, oh my God, self-help books have screwed up your brain.
They turn to these guides
for, you know, how to be the best man and, you know, how to be a great lover and all these sorts of things. And it's just mind-boggling because they forget, you know, kind of like horoscopes, you have to write these very generic, very, you know, very open to interpretation lines that people can go,
right,
huh, that's me. I can see that in my life. So, I certainly encourage anyone who's looking to better themselves to find what they really care about. Find what it is that makes them the happiest, and don't there's no need to change for people. This is about finding the other person that matches your goals and desires and things that you need. So there's no need to go find that checklist and say, and certainly plenty of us that grew up in South Florida, especially, kids like me that grew up with Jewish mothers that said, you're married at 30 or you're not married at all. You've got expectations.
I have a Jewish mother.
Right.
So when did you come out, Jonathan? I'm sorry.
One of the things that's wonderful about growing up in Fort Lauderdale, I was out at 16.
Right. Yeah.
And it was very special, something that a lot of people get to share. And I was really grateful. And I remember, I'm old enough now, I can say it. I used to sneak out of the house and go to Cathode Ray, which is sadly no longer in existence. I would just go and just to see the normality of gay life is so healthy. I was one of those guys that I wasn't going out looking for, older men to take me into, to take care of me. I was going out looking for, older men, and by older I mean at that time, 21 years old, show me an example, to give me a model, to say, look, this isn't scary. It's not all back alleys and queer as folk. It's friends and careers and very normal lives. And, I look at, some of the young people that I've interacted with now that I've kind of started on this whole activism career as well, that, that say, thank God for the internet, because they can watch clips of happy boys together, and they can go to all of these really wonderful LGBT resources on the internet and see that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right. One of the I have friends who constantly complain about Logo bleeping out the cuss words, and I immediately tell them, because I do work with kids, that the reason they do that is so that the channel itself, whatever the channel is, doesn't get put on the ultra X rated Playboy channel type, so the parents don't block it. So if you're in Pocatello, Idaho, parents haven't blocked the MTV channel, so you can get the Logo channel. So it's kind of available to more people that way.
Absolutely. It's a fine line, and there's plenty of people that will, that will attack any piece of programming and go, just showing X, Y, and Z in such a negative light. And, there's always that fine line between entertainment and education, and I think a company like Logo does a very good job at giving a little bit of something for everybody.
I agree. Well, let me just talk a little bit about I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archive. I was a board chair for many years, and when I retired from that, and I retired from life, and I'm doing gay activism and community service now, I'm kind of recruiting famous and important people to send us stuff to the library, and I'm going to send you the address, and I would appreciate you sending a signed picture for the Stonewall and maybe something like a script or something real that is a real archival material, and we'll put it in our archives, which I love to do because we have 40 tons of historical archival material. We're open to the public in a public library. We're the only gay and lesbian public library in the United States that's in public space. We actually share space with a public library. That took a huge thing for Broward County, and I want to hats off to a woman in Coral Springs named Stacy Ritter. She's our county commissioner. She's probably your parents' county commissioner if they still live in Coral Springs. And she championed, along with Charlotte Rodstrom, all straight people, straight out gay allies, to put the library in this public space, which was great. They were super, super great about that. So we've made so many huge inroads. Okay, let me see if I've got another chat question. I know, it is amazing. Fort Lauderdale sometimes surprises me totally and completely. Okay. This another, I don't know why anyone doesn't want to talk to me today directly. They're all coming in on the chat room. Because it's early morning. They still have their, I'm barely here awake. We had a rodeo this weekend. We had the Fort Lauderdale Roundup Gay Rodeo this weekend. And this kind of goes into that. He says, what about going to sports events and gay churches to meet people? What's your take on that?
I couldn't think of a better, if that's your thing, heck yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll give you a good example. I living in New York City, I myself am Jewish, and there is a really great gay Jewish community and a gay Jewish temple up here. Because there's a lot of guys who are looking for someone not just, on a wonderful romantic level, but they want to share something spiritual. So if one of your listeners is looking for, someone that religion is important to them, and they think, I'm looking for someone that I could share that with, I think going to a gay religious service like that's amazing. And, I'm a Florida Gator, I'm at the U.S., so I'm all about good college football. So, if there were more places to go watch gay college football, I'd be all over it.
Right.
I think, exactly. I think your listener brings up a great point that if that's your interest and that's the kind of person that you're looking for, get on it. That's what the places are for. They're to help bring, people together that are looking for that.
And you get to see them in daylight, not in a dark bar,
Exactly.
I can't believe I said that.
That's a lot of the show. It doesn't all have to be, bars and clubs and dark dinner spots. Why not meet at the museum for your first date?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and exactly. Yeah. And another great site I love reading is a site called, are you familiar with outsports.com? That website at all? What a great website.
Yeah.
For high school athletes, they have all these blogs, these anonymous blogs with these high school kids, some anonymous, some non-anonymous. There's a couple of track people and a couple of lacrosse players, and I think they've got a couple of high school soccer players that are putting their names and pictures in there that are literally out and talking about, their experiences and how it was a no big deal. It was a non-event, even in some small towns. So I love Outsports, and I love telling people about Outsports. I come in contact with a lot of different people at the library and or at the archive, and they come in and they don't know where they are, but they're coming out and da da da. And I always tell them, if you're in sports, go to Outsports. You'll feel very comfortable there and stuff like that. We are fortunate in Florida. I don't know about New York. How's the gay sports team scene up there?
Huge.
Okay. I knew swimming was huge because I was a gay swimmer. I am a gay swimmer on the gay swim team, and I've been up in New York for International Gay and Lesbian Aquatics, which is like, if you ever want to see, first of all, I encourage all men that are getting older, that are looking to get in shape and don't want to really work hard, join one of the gay swim teams. If you're in the 15 or 20 cities where International Gay and Lesbian Aquatics are, first of all, you get to see a lot of men in speedos. So that's just always great. And you will, in no time, get in unbelievable shape. Swimming is the best for quick weight loss and stuff like that. And also your heart. So that's my little plug on International Gay and Lesbian Aquatics. Oh,
sounds like an amazing day, actually.
Yeah, have you ever seen a gay swim meet? Have you ever been to a gay swim meet?
I have a good friend up here in New York that's a member of a gay diving team, and it's pretty incredible. From everything from, the swimming is nice, the outfits are better.
But we get off on these subjects here. But again, that's another place for as far as dating and meeting people and also expressing yourself. That's the way you express yourself. If you express yourself honestly, people are going to take you honestly. I find a lot of dishonesty in dating, don't you?
So much. I mean, it's everyone's putting on the show that they think other people want to see.
Right.
And then, if the objective is to find that person you want to spend a long time with, well, I hope at some point you become clean about who you really are, because you're doing a little bit of false advertising here.
Exactly, to be sure. Yeah, I mean, it's like wearing padded butt underwear with a big butt. Someday they're going to find out what's under there, right?
Well, that's funny you say that. I'm just so blown away. I keep seeing those all over New York, the padded underwear, and then those man spanks. Those
man spanks
suck you in. Sooner or later, that has to come off, and we're all going to know you're lying.
Right, exactly. Jonathan, we have 30 seconds left to our show, and this is flown by, and this 30 minutes has gone. What do you want to say in the last 30 seconds? I thank you so much for being on the show today. What's your closing remark here?
My closing remark, well, first of all, thank you so much to you and your listeners. This has been so much fun. Please watch Setup Squad on Logo starting April 25th and moving to Mondays at 10 p.m. on Logo. And just remember, be yourself, enjoy your life, and out is the new in 2011, so enjoy it.
Thank you, Jonathan, and good morning to all. Take care. Bye-bye.